morning, everyone. Thank you, Gail, for greeting so beautifully.
Hi, everyone. So good to be here on the call with you, talking about the gifts of the summer solstice. We're really excited to talk to you and hear from you and be with you.
As you create authentic power, you begin to realize that everything is a gift. And when I say everything, I mean everything. Imagine if that were printed, it would be in italics.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that every experience you have is an opportunity for you to grow spiritually. And as you create authentic power and develop emotional awareness, you begin to realize that every encounter you have, if you're aware, if you're not anesthetizing yourself with busyness or eating or drinking or sex or watching television or gambling or any of the things that fear produces, if you're not anesthetizing yourself, you realize that everything in the Earth School is creating emotional currents in you. And those emotional currents allow you to distinguish love from fear. And once you've done that, then you are in a position to be able to consciously choose between the two. That means to either react to what you experience or respond to it with love. And that is creating authentic power. And that's what brings us all together. So, as Linda said, the title of this call is Gift or Gifts of the Summer Solstice. But what is a solstice? What is the summer solstice?
One thing that I really loved about this topic is that, as all topics, I always get a chance to go deeper in myself and learn more about myself from exploring this. And I'm so excited that we get to explore this with you now, with all of you.
Indeed. So how can you go deeper into self-exploration? Because it's the summer solstice, or it soon will be. That's what we're going to talk about. The solstice is that time of the year when the days are longest and the night is shortest, or the day is shortest and the night is longest. The summer solstice is the solstice in which the days are longest and the nights are shortest. The light is greatest and the darkness is least. It comes just once a year. In the northern hemisphere, it comes in June, and that's the month that we just entered. So, what is it about the summer solstice that makes it interesting? Well, it's not just the astronomical aspects, which means the way the Earth revolves around the sun and rotates on it. Astronomical.
Okay.
Which means the way that the Earth revolves around the sun.
Oh, yes.
And has to do with how it spins on,
yes,
its axis. The thing that makes it really interesting is the symbolism of it. And because you're multisensory and you're beginning to create authentic power, if you are, you're beginning to see your life as symbolic. And everything is symbolic, not just a matter of cause and effect, physical cause and physical effect, or chance or destiny. So as we look at the solstice symbolically, it's a sign or a symbol or a time of equilibrium, day and light. It is a sign. Let me get to the equilibrium in a moment. It's a sign that light is greatest and darkness is the least. Well, you may think, I'm a spiritual person. That's great. Light is greatest in my life, and that's a good thing. But keep living, because the winter solstice is going to come in December. And when the winter solstice comes, that's reversed. The darkness is greatest and the light is least. So does that mean from a spiritual perspective that that is a worse time than the summer solstice? No, it doesn't, because we started out by looking at how every experience in the Earth School is an opportunity. They're all the best. They're all good. None of them get any better. So what can we learn from that? Well, one thing we can learn from that is not to be attached. Not to be attached to the days when the light is the greatest, the days are the warmest, and the darkness is least. Frightened parts of my personality have a tendency to be attached to that because they like the sunshine, they like the warmth. But of course, people who are living in the tropics and in many parts of the world don't really have four seasons, but they're still in the summer solstice and the winter solstice. So as you begin to look at the solstice, not as an event, but as part of a cycle, you begin to see it differently. And you can say to yourself, well, this is a wonderful experience, but then so will be the winter solstice. And you won't be attached to one or the other. And then you can start to transfer that to your life. You can say, well, this was a really wonderful experience, but there's no sense getting attached to it because it's not going to stay. Something else is going to replace it. That happens every second, every moment. So that gives you a new perspective on the events of your life. And if you really get this new perspective and you step back from it a little bit, you realize what we started by saying, that every experience and every event in your life is an opportunity for you to become more aware, apply your awareness, and grow spiritually. And what does that mean? That means move beyond the control of the parts of your personality that originate in fear, that live in fear, that create in fear, and that are painful to experience, and that create consequences that are painful to experience. That's spiritual development. Because as you do, you begin to choose love consciously instead of fear. And as you do that again and again, you move beyond the control of the frightened parts of your personality. That means your anger, your jealousy, your craving for sex, your needing to gamble, your needing to eat, your needing to be praised, your needing to be appreciated, your needing to feel superior to people, your needing to feel inferior to people. So this is all good. And that's what we want to say. It's all good. And if you don't see it as all good, which means your life is all good, that means you have some more growing spiritually to do. If you're still feeling superior to people, you have some more growing to do. If you're still feeling inferior to people, you have some more growing to do. Why should you do this growing? Well, there's no should involved here. But here's what happens if you don't. You don't change. And so all of the consequences that these frightened parts of your personality are creating, they will continue to create. And as you cultivate the loving parts of your personality that are creating constructive consequences, they will continue to create constructive consequences, and you'll experience them more and more in your life, both the loving parts and the constructive, blissful consequences that they create. So here we are at the solstice. And we're talking to you about the solstice, so you can use this event, which will actually happen, I think it's June the 21st this year. Sometimes it's the 22nd. To look at it as an event, and as that event as part of a cycle, and that cycle as part of a dynamic that will repeat. And you are involved in that cycle. How are you involved in that cycle?
Yeah, I was thinking about the context of the summer solstice. I've been thinking about this quite a bit since we decided to talk about this. It's one point in a cycle that goes from summer to winter solstice and returns, as Gary said. As you become multisensory, you begin to see it in terms of symbols. You begin to see that this cycle is one that your personality is following from season to season. This is a multisensory perception, to be able to see it as symbolic, a symbolic perception. Without multisensory perception, it would only be a poetic expression. With multisensory perception, it is an actual understanding or realization of the nature of the cycle. As you become multisensory, you become aware of yourself as more than a personality, as a consciousness that is not bound by this cycle of aging and death, of all the cycles that come and go in your life. From that perspective, you can review the events of your life and experiences of your life from a more meaningful place. So that is, we wanted to say that because I feel like this can help you look at that. In fact, I'll share something to you about what I've been learning. So about as I've been thinking about these cycles and thinking about summer, spring, summer, fall, and winter, and I was thinking about that in terms of my life and where I'm at in my life in terms of cycle, the cycle, in terms of my personality. So for many years, of course, I've known I've been getting older, and yet somehow I felt the same inside, and I've had that awareness for a long time. But as I opened to this feeling of being the same inside, I realized that this is the awareness of myself as a soul. That's what's not changing. And yet my body's getting older, my personality for this time in the Earth School is aging. However, my soul is timeless. So that was really a big perspective for me. So I realized that any thoughts of worry I have about my body changing come from the perspective of a frightened part of my personality. And I have the ability to become aware of those frightened parts of my personality and to challenge them, because I know how to create authentic power. I have that ability to make a choice to see that these thoughts of frightened parts of my personality could control me, but I'm not going to let them. I know the energy of these thoughts, believing them and not challenging them over and over again creates aging, creates more aging, creates exactly what I'm thinking it will create. And so I choose to do my best to stay in the perspective of my soul, the impersonal perspective, to appreciate what part of the cycle I'm in as a personality in the Earth School, enjoy the multisensory perception, the impersonal perspective of being a soul, as well as having a personality with gifts that I can share while I'm in this body. So it's such a blessing to see it that way, to really see this in me. And I've been so excited since I've been realizing this and recognizing this more clearly and more deeply. And I invite you to look at your life in this way. So in fact, one thing we're going to do right now is we're going to give you an opportunity to kind of look at this for yourself. And so we're going to do something quite different than we usually do. We're going to, well, different because we're going to have break up into groups of three or four right now. And it'll be interesting because you'll get a chance to talk about this with the people that are in your group. And then after you talk about that with each other, we're going to open it up and we want to hear what you're learning, what you have to say about this, and what questions you might have. So we're going to start that like right away. So it'll be, I'm really excited to see what happens. What I want you to do now, if you can, close your eyes. If it's safe, if it's not, don't worry about it. Just rest for a moment and just be with yourself. So I'd like you to open yourself to the multisensory perception of yourself as a soul, the impersonal perspective of you as a soul. Let yourself see the seasons and cycles of your life, the life of your personality, from a larger perspective of your soul that is not bound by these cycles. So go ahead and do that for a moment. Now look at the season, the season that you are in your life. Where are you? Are you in the spring? Are you in the summer? Are you in the autumn? Are you in the winter season of your life? Where are you? And allow yourself to enjoy this perspective of your soul, how your soul sees this. Allow yourself to have that experience for yourself right now. Relax into this awareness. Now ask yourself, what does my soul want? What does my soul want? And listen for the answer. With no attachment to what you hear, or even if you hear anything, just be with it and see. Maybe it's just a feeling. Just see what your soul wants and just be with that right now. Okay, now what I'd like you to do is take a deep breath. And if you had your eyes closed, open your eyes. And just prepare yourself to talk to people in your group, because maybe nothing came to you about what your soul wants, but it's something you can talk about, you can open to, and be aware of that there's much more to you than just that you're in this stage of your life, your personality. It's much more than that. So what I'd like you to do is talk about what came to you when you asked yourself, what does my soul want? Okay, so just keep being with that as we're talking to people and see if anything comes to you that you feel that, or if there's anything that you're not quite sure about that we said, we want to hear from you. This is part of our time to be together. Really excited to hear from you. So first I'd like to call on David. David, we're going to open your microphone. There you go.
Hi, Gary and Linda.
Hi, David.
Hi, David.
So yeah, I, what came to me is that my soul wants peace and doesn't want so much resistance in my life, so they can truly appreciate all of the seasons, all of the experiences as a gift, like you were saying earlier.
Beautiful.
It certainly is beautiful. The only parts of your personality that do not experience peace originate in fear. Those are the ones that are born in fear and express fear, like anger, jealousy, superiority, inferiority, resentment, depression, mania. That means that the parts of your personality that don't experience pain, that don't experience turmoil, are the loving parts. So what you said was another way of expressing that your soul wants you to experience peace. And when you experience peace, and peace isn't the peace of having taken an anesthetic, like a drug or an alcohol, or a fix of anything from sex to gambling to shopping. Peace means a beautiful enjoyment of life, of yourself, of other people, and a deep appreciation and gratitude for all of them. So thank you, David.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Yeah, I appreciate that. Amanda, I'm going to call on you now. We'll open up your microphone.
Oh, my goodness. So I'm definitely sharing the challenge to frightened parts that are doing jumping jacks on the inside of me and so like maybe even somersaults right now. So I first must say this, that the topic this morning when I looked at it again, you know, the reminder a couple of hours before, you know, we call in, I was thinking, I'm already in an emotional, frightened part situation right now. And I'm like, man, well, I'm going to call in even though I know that it's not going to help me where I'm at. So when Miss Linda said, ask your soul what it wants. And, of course, you know, still in my mind, I'm just going with the flow. And so I'm present, though. I'm going with the flow, and I asked my soul what it wants, and the word that came to mind was love, and the next word was trust.
Mm.
And so in the small group, you know, those words came to mind on the inside, so when I went to say, I said love, and the second word, I said trust. Like now, I just got choked up. I feel it in my chest. I'm emotional around it. And I just, when I shared, I just said, let me sit with that word trust because I'm having some type of response to trust. So, if I'm not mistaken, we all joined back together. Miss Linda said, if I'm not mistaken, if I heard her correctly, to, you know, close your eyes and ask your soul again. That's what I thought I heard. And so I closed my eyes and I just asked my soul, you know, what is the trust? And so I'm thinking, you know, I'm trying to answer, and, you know, within, you know, trust my partner, my spiritual partner, trust my spiritual partner that I'm in a relationship with, trust that person. And immediately I hear, no, trust yourself. And I just, so today, I thank y'all for all who was listening and holding space for me. That today, I'm going to let that sit with me to trust myself. Don't be concerned about anyone outside of me, but trust myself, not what someone else wants me to believe or to trust, but trust myself, the inner guide, the inner God that abides in me, that is guiding me, that is protecting me in this universe, to trust myself. And so that's what I want to say. That's what came to me. And I just wanted to share. Thank you for allowing me to share that.
Thank you, Amanda. That was beautiful. And it's interesting that you had such a strong, maybe even surprising reaction to trust. And it showed you, as you know, that it's pointing to an issue in your life that requires some attention from you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you ask a beautiful question. Well, trust what? Trust my partner? And your intuition said, no. That is correct. How can you know what your partner is going to choose next? How can you know what anyone is going to choose next? We have free will. We have frightened and loving parts of our personalities. So you can't trust someone to be tomorrow the way they are today, or even in the next few minutes the way they are now. But here's an interesting thing. What about yourself? You don't know what you're going to choose in the future either. And your intuition told you, trust yourself. So maybe you can look at that and go deeper into that. Maybe you can look at it as trust the process of my life to bring me into whatever is needed for me to move beyond fear and into love, for me to be able to challenge fear and cultivate love. In other words, you can trust the universe. That is where you can place your trust. Nothing else is strong enough to bear that weight. Mm-hmm. But the universe always will support you in every way not in every way that you allow. It will support you in every way, and it's your choice to accept the support or not. Sometimes people don't want to accept the support because it's not what their personality wants. It wants fidelity from a partner. It wants health. It wants children to be well. It wants more money. But what you can trust is that whatever it is that the universe provides, it will be appropriate for your spiritual development. And you can find out how by applying the tools of creating authentic power, emotional awareness, and then practicing responsible choice, and then looking at what you create and doing that again and again and again. You can always trust those things. So thank you, Amanda. Thank you for your courage to share and for the depth of your sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate you for doing that.
Yeah, me too, Amanda. And I really appreciate what you had to say. It was really beautiful. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's always important to know what we mean when we say trust. Yes. So thank you, Amanda.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to call on Marie. Marie, we're going to open up your microphone. Hi, Marie.
Oh, hi, Gary and Linda. How are you?
We're good. So good to hear your voice.
I know. Great to hear your voice as well. Well, when I closed my eyes and thought about this, what came to me is I feel like I tried to decide what season it was, and I'm going to say winter because it feels kind of like a dormant period, an interest where I'm craving like introspection. I'm craving to go inward because my life is kind of externally based all the time, surrounded by people, and I feel like it's not what my soul wants at the moment. And I also feel like I want to plant seeds to go in a different direction, maybe. So I feel like I'm like working towards spring or something. But it was interesting to think of it that way because I don't always think of it in those terms. And it was great imagery for me. And definitely I have more to think about. And especially looking at it that way, it was an interesting way to look at it.
Thanks, Marie. You're exactly right. And you're bringing our attention to something that's significant. For example, being in the center of your life doesn't mean that you're 86 years old, that your body has lived through 86 winters. You can be in the winter of your life as you move into a period of wanting to be inward, of craving, finding something within yourself rather than looking outward. Mm-hmm. So in other words, these cycles are cycles that govern processes, and your life is a process with processes within processes within processes, all of them meaningful, all of them miraculous. And so you can identify spring, fall, spring, summer, fall, and winter, not in terms of biological age of your personality, but in terms of where you are in the moment. And if winter for you in the moment means despair, hopelessness, helplessness, understand that that is part of a cycle. It will pass. In other words, it is the experience of a frightened part of your personality. It's not coming from the unchangeable ground of your being. And this is a way, too, as you pointed out, that an understanding of the cycles of life can help you in any moment to look at your experiences in a more meaningful way.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So thank you, Marie.
Thank you, Marie.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to hearing more. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to move to Gabby. Gabby, I'm going to open your microphone. I think it's you that speak. Is it you or?
Actually, Linda, it's, probably it's a chat. Gabby is my wife, but she is not joining today.
Oh, okay.
And I pressed one.
Oh, okay. On your thing, it looks like it's Gabby, but I see.
Yeah.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. It's so nice to hear you again.
And thank you so much for these calls, because to me, every time they let me ground myself, and it's so valuable for me. Amanda, what you shared touched my heart so deeply, and I'm very grateful for what you shared. When you asked us what our soul wants, then what came up for me is radiance. And right now I feel that I'm in the winter, that it's job related. I'm in a quite difficult situation, living in Seattle, working in Boston, and at work, it's a situation that feels that nobody can win. And it's bringing up a lot of fear in myself. And so I'm looking for other opportunities, which brings a lot of stress as well. Now, what I experienced when we had to do the practice is a calmness. And my heart area was expanding. And it's so beautiful. And I'm very grateful for that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Chad, thank you. That's a beautiful sharing. Now, remind yourself of what it's a sharing about. It's a sharing of the experience of a loving part of your personality.
Yes.
That's where those soothing, expanded, healing experiences originate, in love.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say, when we remind you to cultivate the loving parts of your personality, we're talking about experiences like the one that you've just shared. So you can do more than share it. You can remember it. You can bookmark it, so to speak. You can make it a benchmark that you can go back to when you're in a frightened part, which was just a few moments ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see, this is something, when we say, put your attention on a loving part of your personality, even while you're feeling a frightened part, this is an example of what the loving part wants, has waiting for you,
mm-hmm.
and always has waiting for you. That's what loving parts do.
Yeah.
That's what loving parts are. You've really touched beautifully the power of a loving part of your personality. And it brought tears to you because it was so meaningful, so relieving, so beautiful, so healthy. Return to that, to the best of your ability, in the future when you find yourself in a frightened part of your personality. And the frightened part doesn't really have to do with Seattle and Boston. It has to do with an inner dynamic in you that is creating all of the painful experiences of fear. And the job, the physical circumstance, is activating that part in you. And when you see that, you'll realize that to really move beyond that part for good, forever, requires you to look inside. Maybe it is more healthy for you to change jobs, maybe not, but it is always more healthy for you to look at your experiences of fear, which means emotional pain, as originating in you, from a dynamic in you that is activated by an external circumstance, but not caused by the external circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
Are you following me?
Yeah, absolutely. I followed it, Gary.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing, Chad. It's so good to hear from you again.
Thank you.
I'm excited to see you again next month at the Journey.
Yes, I will be there.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to come again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really excited to have you there.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for sharing.
Okay, beloved.
So I'd like to call on, let's see, there's so many people here. I'd like to call on Kristen.
Hi, Gary and Linda.
Hi, Kristen.
Hi. So my intention for raising my hand is to challenge my frightened part that's like, oh, I don't need to share. It's not even a big deal. I can challenge this by myself, and I don't need to speak about it. But it's just pretty simple. I during our last life exploration that we just did as part of the Authentic Power Immersion, the last 2 weeks, it helped me to see my frightened part that just feels scared and wants to hold back giving the gifts that I was born to give, and just the awareness of how much I continue to indulge in fear and doubt rather than love and trust, and just a good reminder to remember to challenge that and just like, it's okay, I can do this. And I feel like I'm in the summer experience right now of just being able to relax, open up, expand, share from my heart, and I'm grateful for the ongoing reminders to challenge my frightened parts, because I tend to be in them without really realizing it, because, you know, I feel like I'm either in fear or doubt, or fear and love, or love, and I'm often in fear. So I just appreciate this reminder and the opportunity to share that, to challenge this frightened part.
Mm-hmm. And because you're in the Authentic Power Immersion Program, you have the opportunity to have spiritual partners to support you as well.
Yeah, for me, it's essential. I know I wouldn't be this aware, and I would most of the time probably think I was in a loving part if I didn't have spiritual partners to support me with seeing, actually, this is a frightened part. So it's so supportive, and I can't even say how helpful it is.
Well, some of the frightened parts are very hard to see, aren't they, for being what they are. And if a spiritual partner doesn't point it out, you know, notice it and say it, you might not even see it.
Yeah, that's true for me. Yes.
What are the ones that, what are some frightened parts that have, you need to have support sometimes for a spiritual partner?
I have a frightened part that feels inferior, that has a lot of control, which I didn't see that before. That was something that wasn't really in my awareness. I almost felt like I lived my life feeling superior. But now that I've had support, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I actually feel inferior quite often. And that right there has helped me, because I somehow was like fooling myself that I didn't have that frightened part. And that one shows up often. That's one that spiritual partners often notice and say something to me. And it's like, oh my gosh, thank you, because I wasn't realizing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks so much, Kristen. I really appreciate you sharing about that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful, Kristen. It's always clear when someone shares something that's truthful about themselves. And one of the things you're sharing is pointed out is that cycles, when I said we're all in cycles, and the cycles have within them cycles. For example, you can be depressed or anxious, and you say to yourself, I'm in the winter cycle right now. But yet at the same time, you know that from the perspective of a larger cycle, you're in the summer, you're giving, things are growing, they're coming out. So this is a very exquisite and rich experience to know that overall, so to speak, you're in the summer. But today it feels like the winter. And in all of that, you always have choice.
That's true. Always. And always.
Yeah.
Well, was that clear what I just said, Kristen?
Yeah, because when I'm in my frightened part, it does feel like winter. It wants me to, like, in regards to giving the gifts I was born to give, it wants me to hold back, wait for another day, not do it now, just be like, kind of hang out and not fully be in the summer of open and giving and sharing from my heart. It wants me to, like, oh, I'll do that another time. Right now I'm just going to be more closed up and afraid. So, yeah, that's how I see it or feel it.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing, Kristen.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Kristen.
Yeah.
I'm going to call on Chad. Chad, we're going to open up your microphone. Hello,
Hello.
Chad.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, good. So good to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for the opportunity to speak with you, too. This is wonderful. I think what really came to mind from this exercise, and I didn't really expect a lot out of it, except to be truthful, but it really kind of made me think. I think I'm kind of emerging from a winter season and into the spring, and I really feel that I'm searching for the solstice is where I really want to be. Gone through a lot of relationship trauma with my, in the last 2 years, and now I'm starting to really look inward, and there's been a lot of lessons from that whole experience, looking inward and the spiritual growth and finding you guys and your books. And but I think it's just there's all these things that keep coming back. I keep reverting back to winter and then getting back into the spring, if that makes sense, because I find myself wanting to revert back. And then when I start reading and really looking inward, it really keeps me moving forward into the spring and hopefully towards the solstice is what I really would like. I'd like to stay in that mode, have some balance in life.
So, Chad, if you remember when I was talking, I was saying that I recognize that there's something inside from an impersonal perspective. If I see from my soul's perspective, there are no seasons. It's always okay. Everything is always good. So bringing yourself to that perspective when you're involved in frightened parts of your personality that think they're in the winter cycle, you're using that as a metaphor, I know.
Yes.
But you can always step out of that and look at what's happening from an impersonal perspective of your soul. So that's another way of challenging a frightened part of your personality. So that's just a thought that I had when you were speaking.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, you can see if that can be of support to you.
I think it can.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you speaking.
Thank you.
Yeah, great to hear your voice. Thank you. I'm going to call on Denny next. Okay, Denny.
I'm on.
Hi, Denny.
Yeah, hi, Denny.
Hi, spiritual partners. Good to be with you all. Beautiful analogy. I'm feeling an alignment with the soul and the personality. I'm sitting in this beautiful downtown city park in Auburndale, Florida, and I'm feeling this springtime. There's a renewal, a rebirth, and the new growth that's going on, and I just feel that connection with my soul. And when you were talking about Linda, you were talking about the aging, the body part, and boy, I just, the frightened part just got into that, and I could see where it would, it says things to me like, okay, when's one of these things they're watching in your body gonna, turn cancer, and I'm coming up on a couple of milestones. I got another birthday coming up, and I got a sobriety date coming up, and am I gonna make another one? And then I can in the demographics where I live, I can seek out other people, and we can caretake each other, and we can talk about our our illnesses and our doctors and but then I looked at the the loving part, and it said, you've got things like I got experience, I've got knowledge, I've got wisdom that I can share and with other spiritual partners, and I'm very cognizant of to set the intention and not to come from a place of superiority, because of all this what I just talked about, but to come to share that and to with the intention of creating authentic power with spiritual partners from the loving part of my personality. And it was just that increased awareness that we talk about, and the ability to understand that and then make the responsible choice to come from love, not fear. Thank you. Thanks for letting me share that.
That is beautiful, Danny. That really is beautiful. And it gives us all an example of how it's possible to recognize in yourself the things that you recognize, wisdom, knowledge, there's beauty, and yet not feel superior about it. It's an observation. And then when you observe it like that, then you see that you have an opportunity to use those things always to share with beauty, to share with wisdom, instead of with fear. So thank you, Denny. I'm just so delighted that you share these things.
Mm-hmm. Really beautiful, Denny. Thank you. I want to call on, we only have time for a couple more people. So I'm going to call on Ed, and then we're going to go back into groups. But Ed, yes, Ed, I want to talk to you.
Hello.
Hi, Ed.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's, when I closed my eyes and just kind of went inside, it was quiet, and I felt myself connecting with all of you. And then I sensed I was in the fall of the harvest time of my life. That this is the time where we harvest the crops of love, compassion, kindness that I've learned over my years. And it's time to not just harvest them, but to do something with them, not just put them in a barn, but be a part of distributing them. And but being quiet when I do it.
Mm.
And, it's, for me, it's a complete change. But I sense it is a harvesting time for me to harvest what I've learned and to be available in a quiet, compassionate, connecting energy with my spiritual partners, especially with my wife and my grandchildren.
Mm.
So that's kind of where I am.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds beautiful. I wonder if there are other people included in that.
Well, yes, of course. I mean, besides Gail and the grandchildren, it's all of my spiritual partners and all the other souls that I connect with.
Right. Okay. I misunderstood what you said, Ed. So, yes. That's beautiful. What you said is just really beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And isn't it interesting that this quietness, the ability to be quiet and do it quietly, do whatever you do quietly. Isn't that an interesting place to be?
For me, going from tank quiet is a major, major visionary conceptual change.
Yeah,
that's beautiful. Yeah, and it reflects a major, major change that you brought about and are bringing about in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thanks for your help.
You're so welcome.
Well, it's been great to be with you. Do we have time for another?
We have one more, and then we're going to go into groups. So, Pam, I'd like to call on you. Pam, got your hand up? Yeah, Pam, you're...
Hi?
Yes.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. When you were talking, Linda, earlier, and I was just had my eyes closed, just a beautiful picture came to me. I was out on my deck this morning, and I've just recently planted flowers and some things out there, and just watching how they're all coming, just starting to really grow, and are just beautiful. And the season that came to me is that I'm in the spring of my life, because I'm really seeing the results of planting and, you know, planting the seeds, doing the work, cultivating, nourishing, you know, all the things with creating love and beauty in my life are starting to really come forth in ways that my soul wants. That was the question that I answered for myself. What does my soul want? My soul wants me to bring forth all the potential I have and to give the gifts that I have to give. And I'm really starting to see that as I'm growing and learning and becoming more aware of my intention for doing things and just who I am. It was just a beautiful picture, so I'm just so grateful for that. Thank you.
You're welcome, Pam.
Yeah, really beautiful. It felt such a resonance between what you and Ed said.
Mm-hmm.
In different ways. Really beautiful. Yeah, thank you. So now we're going to go back into, you're going to go back into your groups, and you're already in them. Actually, we'll make sure that you can talk to everyone in your group, and I'd just like you to be able to have a chance to talk more, because not everyone had a chance to share in the bigger group. And what I'd like you to do is just reflect on what you're learning about yourself by exploring what we've been talking about today, what you're learning, and how you might use that in your everyday life. That's what I'd like you to share. You might use these realizations of the seasons. Isn't it amazing how deep this subject is? And how deep every subject is, but this one is really beautiful to look at more deeply for ourselves. So we're going to be leaving the call. We're going to be open up the microphones for you to speak with people in your group. And you know, it could be that your groups have changed a little bit and different people are in there. Sometimes that happens, or there may be people that come in that are there. Sometimes we have people come in that have been practicing for a long time, and they may come in and say hi, check in on you. So we'll see what happens. But there should be around 3 or 4 people in each of your groups. So we're going to open up your microphones now, and we're going to be leaving the call. And I really look forward and so happy to be on this call with you.
When's the next Life School call, beloved?
I think it's July 13th.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
At 9 Pacific.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to seeing you there, and we're looking forward to seeing those of you who will be at the Journey to the Soul in Portland in July.
Absolutely. Okay, so anything else, beloved? Okay, so we're going to go ahead and have you can stay, you know, you can talk till about 10:30 on your group, and just have a really wonderful time sharing with everyone. So let's go ahead and end the call now. Go ahead and open up the microphones right now, and I'll ring the chime so you'll know they're open.
You're in your groups.
Okay, everyone, go ahead, begin.